as we come together on this morning to study God's holy and divine word and to sing praises unto Him, to partake of the Lord's Supper and give back a portion of that which He has allowed us to prosper. It is truly, truly a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. With all the things that go on in our lives, all the things that are going on, it is still a glorious thing to awake on this morning, to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we think about the news of so many, as Brother Simmons added to that number on this morning, that have passed on, we know that there are some that are prepared and ready to die, and others that are not prepared. We have to consider our lives on this morning to ensure that we are doing the things that we're supposed to do in order to be near God, to be obedient unto His word. So let us remember that as we go along our way. As we also think about the proclaiming of the gospel, some were here on Wednesday evening and others were not. Brother Antonio is leaving us. He will be preaching at the South End congregation starting on next Sunday on the 29th. It's a glorious thing to have him just right across town. I told him that he couldn't withdraw his membership from this congregation. He started laughing and ignored me. Asked me, what did he have to do to make that known? I said, there's nothing you can do. He wanted to tell the elders, there's nothing you can do. You know, you're a member here and that's it. But we are glad that Brother Antonio has came our way, spent these last, about 5 months with us now, almost February, March, April, May, June, 5 and a half. It's been a good time. We're not losing him. He's not dying, but he is going across town. So let's remember that and pray for that work over at the South End congregation. We, as we come together on this morning, we need to think about this, and we need to think about this very seriously. That moment in time. Have you ever heard someone say, I wish I could go back in time?
Yes, sir.
And those that are saying, and yes, sir, what would you do if you went back? You know, there are some things that we failed to do, some things that we did, some things that we enjoyed doing, and some things that we did not enjoy doing. If you went back, what would you do? What would you do? Would you do more of the things that you were not supposed to do? Would you do the things that you were supposed to do? Would you be a Christian? Or would you become a Christian? If you were a Christian, would you regret that you were a Christian? Those are some things that we need to think about, that moment in time. But the moment that I want us to think about in time is the moment that we have right now. This moment. If I get out of this hospital, I'm going to serve God. If I just give me one more chance. One more chance. You know, I really honestly believe that some people do not know what they're saying, nor why they're saying it. But we find, as Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, these words are some words that we need to consider. These are words that we need to put into place, put into practice in our lives. He says in verse 15 of Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, look carefully then how you walk. Consider the things that you're doing. The time where someone said, watch where you're stepping. What do you do? Do you keep looking up or you look down and watch where you're stepping? Be very careful. Walk softly as though you're on eggshells. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as fools. We know that the unwise are not prepared. We know the unwise does not care what they do, does not care what they say. The unwise care nothing about God. I believe one version even says, call them the unwise fools. And we know that's exactly what an unwise person is. He or she is a fool. And we need to consider what we're doing. It says, but as wise as that person that is looking at God's word, and that person that is doing what they're supposed to be doing, walk as they are walking, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Seizing every opportunity we have in order to do good unto others, to pray for others, to help others, because the days are evil. There are people out there that mean us no good. They want to hurt us. They only want to pull us away from God. But we have to look at God's word. Look carefully then, he says, in how you walk, not as unwise, but as fools, making the best of the use of the time, because the days are evil. Do we really believe this? That the days are evil. When Paul wrote this, the days were evil then, and guess what? The days are evil now. We still have to look how we walk. They looked at their steps. They looked at the direction in which they were going in. We have to do the same thing today. The Holy Spirit just didn't inspire man to write this down, but he inspired men to write all the Word of God in order for us to look at it, learn by it, do what we're supposed to do. We find and we think about this and understand that we need to spend your time doing the will of God. That's what he says. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How are we going to know what the will of God is if we never look in the Word? We hear what people say, but are all men telling the truth? Does everybody have the same mindset? Does everyone have the same goal? The answer is no. So we have to spend your time doing the will of God. Study the Word. Learn what God wants you to do. Be faithful unto Him. That's very important. For if we only do the will of God for a short period of time and we die, well, what good is it going to do us? So we have to continue to do the will of God. Continue to stay in the Word. Continue to help others out. We have to remain focused on the goal of heaven. It's obtainable. We can get there. That day is coming. In Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That day is coming. Are you ready for it? Or are you focused? Do you see that there is a great reward that is waiting on you? Do you see that? Do you understand that? Again, we have to walk a certain way in order to reach that goal. Again, there are men that run races. And there is that individual that's standing beside him or her and helping them along their way. Not just looking at how you're walking, but you're looking at the next man as well. When he or she falls short, you're there to help them. There's nothing like a good race. But we have to run the race properly. We have to stay focused on the goal of heaven in order to get there. Do not allow your time to be consumed by useless matters. You know, there are times where we spend hours on end, hours at a time, on useless things. Well, we need to be spending time in the Word of God. Different people study different ways. Different people learn God's Word in different ways. But when we spend all of our time on useless matters and God is not included in those things, we are wasting our time. We're not looking at how we're walking. We don't care how we walk. But I want you to understand this. Although you're not looking, someone else is looking. Someone else is looking. I tell you the story about a lady that way back in, I believe, 1993, 94. I know that's the time frame. She used to look out her window and she used to tell Anita, you know, what time I went to work. She used to tell us what we wore to worship service on Sunday morning. She was looking at us. Now, I would say that she was spending, consuming her time in useless matters. Wasn't none of her business. What time I went to work and go tell Anita, wasn't none of her business. But she made it her business. I have a man right now, if I asked him what time I left the house on Friday morning, he could tell me. His door's not open, but I guess his window shade is up and he's looking at what I'm doing. I seen you this morning. You left the house at 7:30. I said, yeah, you're right. I left the house at 7:30, 8 o'clock. Then I came home yesterday evening. He said, you know, it's after 5. I'm thinking, yes, it's after 5. And I said, and today is Saturday. But when we waste time looking at what others are doing, there's really no way we could be doing what we're supposed to be doing. But that's what some people do. We need to spend time in God's Word. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. His will is that we be obedient. His will is that we come together and worship Him in spirit and in truth. His will is that we help the next man out. That's His will. You know, if it's the Lord's will, and you know the rest of the story, if He say the same, if the creek don't rise, there's all sorts of things you can put together with that. But we want all to understand this morning, the will of God is to serve Him, to walk as He would have us to walk. Be faithful. Do all that is right. Be wise in your actions toward all men. Not just some men, but all men. We have to be wise in our actions. You know, there are times where we just don't want to be wise in helping the next man out or in that next man's actions. We want to continue to do what we want to do. I believe we read this scripture this morning in class. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I believe I also used it on last week as well. It is worthy to be used again because the Word of God has not changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. He says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. Thank you, Brother Brian. He's not here, is he? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Again, we did use this scripture this morning, I believe. If not, we should have, huh? Now concerning brother love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, do the same. Do this more and more. And to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. Verse 12. So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. You know, I believe when we think about this, that brotherly love, he says, I have no need to write to you because you've been taught by God. How are we taught by God? Let's answer that question. How are we taught by God? We look at His Word. We hear what His Word says, and we learn, and we do what the Word says. This is the Word of God. These people that Paul is writing to, the First Thessalonians, the Thessalonian church, the Church of Thessalonica, these people, God didn't speak directly to them. Someone had to teach them the Word. But yet, Paul says, you have been taught by God. It's not man's word, but it's God's word. And he continues again in verse 10, for that indeed is what you are doing. You're loving one another. Loving one another. See, we have to be an example to all men. Be wise in your actions toward all men, not some. So what do? We love everybody. We love those in the church. We love those out of the church. We love those that are faithful. We love those that are unfaithful. That's all men. That's all men. Throughout, and he says, for indeed it is what you're doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep walking. Keep doing what you're doing. It's a great thing. You're an example to others. Somebody somewhere is looking at what you're doing. Keep doing those things. And just maybe they'll quit looking and they too will begin to do them. Verse 10 of 11, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. Work with your hands as we have instructed you. This is important. Continue to live so that God will be pleased and glorified. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Keep doing those things. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't think, I've done enough. We can never do enough. Brother Thanopoulos mentioned this morning about giving. We can never give enough. What did we bring into this world? Nothing. I know many of you have probably seen it. When you die, no matter if you're rich or poor, it tells you that grave, you know, it has two graves there, and both of the graves are the same size. Now, we know when that man is buried in his car, that grave is a little bit bigger. It's a little bit bigger because of the car. But the graves are generally the same size. So it's not how much you have at death. It's not how much you have at birth. It's those things that you have in between that you can give to help others out. And we have to consider those things. And we have to do those things. But we do these things not to bring any glory to ourselves, but to bring glory unto God. Work and live in peace with those without. Those that are on the outside, work and live with them in peace. We go to our jobs and there's that person on our job that's just getting on our last nerve. So we say, how you react to that person is going to cause that person to either come to Christ or get further pushed away from Christ. That person that you live with or in that same neighborhood with, when they do something against you or they see something happening to you or someone approaches you and they're watching, how you interact with that person is going to cause them to come to Christ or push them further away. What are you really doing? How are you really living? How are you really working? Who are you working for? I've known two people, Anita and one of my cousins, that says when they're working, they're working as they're working for the Lord. My cousin was mopping the floor. He said this man came by and said, you're doing a wonderful job. And he just thought to himself, it's not for you that I'm doing this. I'm doing it for the Lord. He was in confinement. And you know when you're in confinement, well, some of y'all don't know, but some of us do know. When you're in confinement, there's not many people that you want to say anything to you. There's not many things that you want to do in order to please that man that's watching over you. But if you have put Christ on, you're going to do all that you can in order to be pleasing unto him. You've gotten yourself into a bad situation. You're in confinement now. Maybe that's where you were baptized, or maybe you got yourself into some trouble outside of that, you know, prison walls. And now you're there, but you became a Christian before you went. You still need to act like a Christian. You still need to be an example. You still need to work as though you're working for the Lord. Somebody's watching you. Let us be that example that we're supposed to be. Stay focused on your own affairs. See, Is there anybody in here that's exempt from problems? Is there anybody in here exempt from having, you know, some things happening in your life that you, you know, need to focus on? Is there anybody in here that has never gotten into anybody else's business? See, we need to stay focused on our own affairs. And we have people tell us that sometimes when we're trying to help them out because we've gone through situations. Well, you got problems yourself. Well, the problem that I have, that you haven't, I've had, and I want to help you out of your problem. This really has nothing to do with you helping that person out of their problem. It has anything to do with Matthew chapter 7. It has nothing to do with that at all. But if you are meddling in other people's affairs, then you have a problem. You have a problem. And the problem is you are not focused on what God wants you to do. It says so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. That's how we need to walk properly before all men. Before all men. Stay focused on your own affairs and not in the business. Or I guess I just really messed that one up, huh? Don't be a busybody, maybe. In the business of others is what it's supposed to be. Today is all we have. Today is all we have. Can't go back and change yesterday for those two that want to go back in the past. We don't have a time machine. Today is all we have. We do not have tomorrow. We cannot go into the future. We cannot go there. Once you get to the future, guess what it is? It's the present. If we get there. If we get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It says in Ecclesiastes 9, 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work of thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you're going. So we're going to die. You can't do anything once you get there. In that grave, there's nothing for you to do. When shall we work? Wise day. Wildest day. This is the time. This is all we have right now. When it's dark, no man works. When death comes, no man works. Yes, you can go and read about the rich man, how he talked to Abraham. Let someone go back and talk to my family. My brothers, they have problems. They are just as bad as I am. Those brothers, they had an opportunity to get their lives right. I don't know whether or not they did or not. The Bible doesn't say. But today is all we have. We need to be working toward a common goal, and that goal is heaven. Doing all that God wants us to do. Not what man wants to do, but what God wants us to do. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. This is where we get the ideal of I'm working for the Lord. No matter what I'm doing, I'm working for the Lord. If the man is looking at me, I'm working for the Lord. If he's not looking, I'm working for the Lord. Doing what you're supposed to. Verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Not for men. See, we need more people. We need to hear more people besides Anita and my cousin that says these things. Why? Because this is what the Bible teaches. Do you take pride in what you do? Can you look back and say, you know, not just, you know, I'm looking at what I'm doing and it looks good, but the person that you're doing it for can say the same because God is looking down and say, now that is one of my servants right there. They have given their best. They know what today is. They know that today is all you have. It makes, you know, it makes us feel good when we do a job and we're not looking for any praise for doing it. But we get that praise. And all we can think about, if you are happy, everything is okay. It's if you're happy. And the thing that we need really need to think about is God pleased. If God is pleased, man very well must be or should be pleased. Because we have given our all to doing what we're supposed to do. Today is all we have. We can't go back and change anything. Proverbs chapter 19. Let me get over there and I give you the verse to that. When we think about the many things that we have and the many things that we've done, we again understand that it is because of God. Let's look at verse 1. Proverbs 19, looking at verse 1. He says, better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Now, I believe that when we start talking about walking and we start talking about carefully walking, circumspectly, I believe, one version says, that when we walk in our integrity, better is the poor person who walks in his integrity than the one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Today is all we have again. People say, he may not have much, but he's an honest man. He's poor, but he's honest. He's willing to help someone else out. He'll treat you right. He'll give you all that he has. But that one that is crooked in speech, Bible says he's a fool. He's a fool. And again, we never want to be called a fool. We never want someone to look down on us for what we've done, but we want them to look at us because we are children of God. Whether you're rich or poor, let's do what is right. Proverbs 16:26. You ever seen that lazy person? Didn't want to do anything. Didn't want to do anything because someone was always giving him something. But this is what the Bible says in Proverbs 16:26. A worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. A worker's appetite works for him. You have a drive. There's something you want. You go out there and you get it. You're pushing toward those things. Today is all we have. We do not have tomorrow. We cannot go back and change yesterday. Today is all we have. How many times do we need to consider that? That today is all we have. We need to consider it every time we wake up. We need to consider it every time we go about our way. We need to even consider it as we lay down at night. Today is all I had. What did I do with it? Did I live for God? Did I include God in my plans? That's what James says here. There are many people that do not include God in their plans. Do not really believe that today is all they have. They think that, hey, tomorrow is there. I'm going to do those things tomorrow. Verse 13 of James 4, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, such and such a town, and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Say, come on. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. He tells us what to do. Even after he said those things, he tells us what to do. It says, instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's wills, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. See, that man that had plans for today died yesterday. Plans. See, we make plans. We make plans. But where is God? Is it God's will that we make those plans and do not include him? Lord, again, he said, if it's the Lord's will, you know, the Lord's will is if you live, you'll be able to do this or that. We're going to make plans when we leave here to go to services somewhere else. And then we're going to make plans to go to services again. Then we're going to make plans on what we're going to do tomorrow. Is God in those plans? Is God in those plans? If not, those plans are no good. that moment in time. The moment in time to hear is right now. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. To hear the word of God, to know what God wants you to do. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That moment in time is now to open your ears to what God's word says and be willing to be obedient to those things. Believe what you hear. See, this belief causes one to move into action. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. That moment in time is now, for tomorrow is not yours. Luke chapter 13 and the verses 3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, there are times in our lives where we're doing something. We just don't want to quit doing those things. We don't want to give those things up because we enjoy doing those things. This is, yes, we're talking before baptism where we tell people that you need to repent. But even after you're baptized, there's that time, that moment in time where an individual needs to repent. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to repent. And then we even find in Romans chapter 10 in the verses 17 that individual that confesses with his mouth, that individual will be saved. But that moment in time is now. Well, I'll do that next week. You know, I'm going to wait. I don't think I'm quite old enough yet. I don't think I know enough of God's word yet. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but I don't think I know enough to be baptized. Why not? Why do you not know enough? Do you know the importance of baptism? Do you realize that baptism is what puts you into Christ? Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Baptism is what puts you into Christ. It's how you put Christ on. You can't do it outside of Christ. You cannot have him if you have not gone down into the watery grave. That moment in time is right now. Do you know of someone that need to hear this? Do you know of someone that need Jesus preached unto them? That moment in time is now that you go to that person and you tell them about Jesus. Tell them about God. Tell them about the Holy Spirit. Tell them about salvation. That moment in time. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults. We're asking you to ask for forgiveness. We're asking you to live faithful. To live faithful. Continue to grow in God's word. Live faithful. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. We want to encourage you to become one, to come down the aisle, to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back before it is too late. But when is that? At death, it is too late. Can't change anything then. That moment in time is now. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn.